Okay. Okay, you're recording?
Yes, I am recording. Yes.
Okay, and let's do a countdown. So, five,
Four,
three,
two.
one.
Nice.
It's like funny being on the
I
other
like
side
it.
of this.
Now you're now, yeah, who's in the hot seat now? You think it's me, but it's actually you.
I know. All right, we are going to start with the lightning round. So quick questions, quick
Yeah,
answers,
love it.
okay?
Yeah.
What is the weirdest thing you packed for a trip this year?
I it's only kind of weird, but it was such a saga. I was doing this thing where I had to do a very, very hard bicycle trip. It was for work. It was for Atlas. I
Okay.
was shooting this video where I was, there's a race where it's bicycles against a steam train in Colorado, called the Iron Horse. And it's like the bicycle race was so much hard. Oh, this is like not a lightning answer.
No,
I was
we're
doing this really
off to a
hard
bad
bicycle race,
start.
and I brought these bath salts because I was like, I'm gonna be so sore. And so I tried to pack like three bath salts that I had, and then this TSA was just like, no, like what? They opened them all and then they like taped them back up. And then I went through TSA again and they were just like, nah, you can't even have, they were like, and then they looked really suspicious because they were like taped up with TSA tape. And they were just like, okay, you can have one of these, like you can't have three. Anyway, so that was a dumb thing to try and fly with.
Like, this dude is very attached to his bath
And it
salts.
also just felt like both bougie and like a risk for like flight security. I don't know. It was dumb in every way. I am here with Johanna Mayer,
Hello.
our senior producer, and we're gonna do like a mailbag episode. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so we have a whole variety of questions here. I've collected a bunch for you from a few listeners, some from our staff. Got a few holiday-themed ones in
Nice.
there,
Cool.
naturally. We've got some looking for general life advice. No
Okay.
pressure,
I'm not qualified, but okay.
Dylan. And we have at least one where you're gonna have to choose a side, and you might ruffle some
Oh,
feathers.
good. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. All right, here, let me do the intro. I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. And today, you ask the questions, and I try to answer them. This is a mailbag episode. We've never actually done one of these before. It's our very first one. We hope to kind of make this a regular thing. So if you're listening, start thinking about your questions now, and I'll do my best after this.
Okay. First up, we have a question from a listener named Jenny.
Okay.
Let me play this for you.
Hi, Dylan. This is Jenny calling from Brooklyn. So when I'm traveling, I always want to be having the most authentic experience and making sure I'm living like the locals do. But sometimes I get caught up overthinking that when I'm choosing a restaurant or where to walk or shop. And I find that it gets in the way of my actual enjoyment. So my question is, how do you handle that?
Yeah, analysis paralysis. It's like a
Yeah,
real,
it's real.
it's a real travel problem too, because you're trying to make the most of your time. It feels precious. You really want to feel like you've made the right decisions. But then that sends you down this like rabbit hole of research, and not just in advance, like in real time. If you're like me, you'll be like, yeah, I'm gonna like figure it all out. And then you get to the place and you're like, oh, I didn't figure it out. And like, now I've got, what am I gonna do? I think one way to avoid this, like one practical piece of advice is if you can choose like a neighborhood, like choose an area, then like stop choosing. Like let yourself wander and just find some restaurant and just choose that one. And it's like okay to get it wrong. Like there isn't really a right and a wrong, and like just.
You know, I was gonna say kind of a similar thing. I'm not the one giving advice here, but like the idea of authenticity is sort
Yeah.
of tough. You know, there's like
Yeah.
no one authentic experience to have in a certain place.
Totally. And I mean, honestly, like authenticity, like the cell phone store. It's pretty authentic. It exists everywhere. It's a highly authentic place.
The local DMV.
Yeah.
Okay. Holiday-themed question next. This one's from an AO staffer. Dylan, you have gone on the record as an unabashed lover of Christmas.
I am.
Big-time Christmas guy.
Big-time Christmas guy.
Okay, question is, what is a holiday tradition you'd love to experience in a different part of the world?
Oh, I have the answer. Oh, I really have the answer, and I really want to make an episode about this. Do you know the gavel goat?
No.
Okay. Oh, Johanna.
Tell me.
Mm. Oh. Okay, I think it's this is all going to be off the dome, so we may need to fact check me. Okay. I think it's in Sweden. It's a giant straw goat. It's huge, though. It's like 2 stories tall, 3 stories tall.
I'm hooked already.
It's a giant straw goat. And technically, you're not supposed to burn it down. But of the years it's been put up, it has been burned down like 70% of the time before it reaches New Year. This is like a Christmas through New Year's kind of tradition. Somebody once drove their car into it. People shot burning arrows at it. People have tried to crash, use a drone to drop something on. Like, it has become this kind of sport.
What is the purpose of the gavel goat?
It's just to be there and to celebrate. It's just like,
our icon,
the incredibly flammable icon sitting here in a big open area. And in fact, it was an American tourist who, I think they were American, maybe they were British. They burned down the gavel goat and then they got arrested. And they were like, what are you talking about? This is what you're supposed to do. And they were like, no, this is not what you're supposed to do. This is against the law. It's naughty. I just like the gavel goat. I love the traditions around it. And I would love to participate in some fashion or another and do nothing nefarious.
Okay. Next question. This one is from a contributor to our show, Alexa. She says, my parents never really traveled when we were growing up. Now my mom is interested in traveling and she wants to take a vacation together. Right now she is only interested in package bus tours and cruises, which is the opposite of how I usually travel. I am afraid I might go a little crazy on a bus tour. Is there a way to make those planned out trips more interesting?
I'm into this. I've done some multi-generational travel with my folks. And mm-hmm. I think that there's something to be said, actually, for some kind of group tour experience. Uh-huh. I mean, all of this kind of travel packages skew a little older, but I will uh-huh. say there are some smaller scale cruises, 100 people, 150 people size cruise mm-hmm. to the Arctic, to the fjords around Norway, And some of those cruises are the only way you're going to see that place anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's just a better way to actually travel certain things. So I feel like if you could just be selective, if Alexa could kind of be like, hey, mom, here's 4 small scale cruises to places that actually are best seen from the water, that's going to be a good compromise.
I've always said about cruises, I don't think that I would ever actively book one for myself. But if I happen to find myself on a cruise, I think I could have a lot of fun.
Totally.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yes.
This is a genuine question.
Yeah.
I am curious how you think about roots and choosing a home.
Ooh.
You're someone who has traveled a ton, obviously, and you've also lived in a number of places that are really different. You've talked about, you grew up in Minnesota, spent a year in Budapest, you lived in New York City for a while, you're now in upstate near the woods in New York.
Town, and
I have constant anxiety about having not tried out living in enough places. And I would say in general, I'm very happy where I live, but it is always tugging at me. I'm like, should we just try moving somewhere else? How do you know where to actually settle and build your home base? So How do you think about that?
Unfortunately, I share some of the same anxiety.
Oh,
or,
great.
or at least like I have a real desire to like live abroad again. I would love to take the kids for a year or even 6 months, but like a long extended time, and just live in another country, in another place. Like, I thought you were going to say the other thing, which is I have a certain sense of guilt about not being back in my hometown, about not being back in Minneapolis. And it's weird because I think about my kids and they're growing up in a very different environment than I grew up in. And I love the environment they're growing up in, but there are parts of me that are like, oh, but like there's so much they're kind of missing out on. And there's so much about actually the culture of kind of Minnesota and Minneapolis that I really like that I find just kind of distinctive of the place. But I don't think there's like one right answer.
You know, it's so funny you say the thing about kids also, and like thinking about your kids growing up here and not in Minneapolis, and like, I don't have kids, probably will someday. And I have thought about that, where it's like them growing up in an environment that is like so different than where I grew up like on a tree farm in rural Missouri, and I live in New York City now. And it's like, and that was so formative to me, you know, growing up in that place, and to think about them like not having that experience and thinking about them potentially like being freaked out by bugs or something.
Yeah, being city like, kids. No, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, it's but a it's weird all, thing to think about.
It's all trade-offs, right? It's all trade-offs. Like, you know, my friends who are raising kids in the city, their kids are very savvy in certain ways and like way more like street smart. My kids, I'm just like, Jesus, no, stop. What? Don't go over there. Yeah. You know, but yeah, but then my kids are very comfortable in nature and not afraid of bugs and have a certain sense of kind of openness. And it's just trade-offs. Like, I don't think there's no, you can't have it all. I will say one thing, which is related to New York City, which I lived in for like 10 years. Uh-huh. And I love New York. And New York is one of the truly great cities. I also think, though, it felt impossible to like break the gravitational pull. Like, I had to trick myself. When we left the city, I tricked myself. We subletted our apartment. We were renting up here. And I was just like, well, we'll do this for like a year or something. And like, that'll be cool. And then we'll like come back. But then once I broke the gravity, I just like, it was just like, oh, like New York's still there. New York's great. It's fine. No one like people didn't show up with like pitchforks and like throwing eggs to shame me for like having like failed.
And you like still have friends.
I do think there's something to be said for realizing you can break the gravity of kind of the great metropolises, the New Yorks, the Londons, the whatever, you know, and just go be somewhere else for a while, not even permanently. There's no right answer.
Maybe that's just the answer to each of these questions. Yeah. Sorry to disappoint everyone.
Yeah, you're fine as it is. It's all good. Yeah.
Okay. I have two more questions for you. Okay. So this one is from a listener named Mike.
So my question is about your road trip food strategy. I like to research and find small, maybe diners or small town local restaurants. And my wife thinks that this is the best time to indulge your fast food cravings. So basically what I want to know is who's right?
Be careful.
You're correct, Mike. You have the correct. So it actually depends a lot on time. Like my wife and I do a lot of driving. We drive to Maine to see her sisters. You know, we've done some big long, we've driven out to Minnesota over like 4 days to see my family. Like, we're not afraid of a long road trip. And when we did that trip out to Minnesota, we knew it was going to take forever anyway. So we basically said like, let's just have it take one more day. Because otherwise we could do it in, you know, 3 days, like on the interstate and just ripping and eating fast food. The kids want fast food. They're like, want to go to McDonald's. But we just programmed the, you know, we did the like off interstate, off highway in Google Maps. And so we it took longer. But then you end up coming across all these weird little, you know, diners and like small restaurants.
Yeah.
It's a little bit about like putting yourself in the path of that stuff. And if you can, it'll be better. Because like interstate fast food, you can do it for a day, but like the second day, it's a bummer. Like it starts to feel depressing.
But if you're on like, if you're doing like a one day, you know, like you're driving to Pittsburgh or something, and it's like 9 hours away. I totally side with the wife in this question. I'm like, yes, I never eat McDonald's. This is the one time when it is acceptable to do it. Yeah. I'm going in. Yeah. No one's judging me on this.
Oh,
I get what you're saying. It totally wears on you, but like, I say go for it.
If you're doing like a one day rip it, it's my, like I said, my kids are always so pumped. They're just like, yes, McDonald's.
I am always so pumped in that situation.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last one. This one comes from another listener, also named Chris. What's one piece of advice you'd give someone planning their first big trip of 2025?
Oh, I need so many more details, though. I mean, I guess a piece of advice that's like I perennially give is, here's a good example. February break. We might go to Miami, which is
Miami.
Oh, do you? Oh, good.
Yes, I love Miami.
Oh, it's so funny you say that because I am fully like, we sort of, because we can get really, it seems like we can get really cheap flights.
Yeah.
And I think for me, at first, I was not like, ooh, Miami. I was like, oh, Miami. Like, do I want to go to Miami? Like, but I think what I realized is like, I started, you know, it's like, it's close to the Everglades. Miami's actually really interesting. Like,
maybe you go to Little Havana, like, get great food, all the,
Totally. And I think the advice is basically like, it's less about the destination and more about the like, mindset and like willingness to kind of like, you know, you, every places just have a lot in them. They just have a lot of different stuff. You know what I mean? You could go to Miami and like only go to the independent bookstores there. I don't know.
Maybe the way that I am with cruises, you are with Miami. Yeah. Like if you find yourself in Miami,
yes,
you can have a good time.
I will figure out how to have a good time in Miami. I've been to Miami before and I was just like, is this like the family trip I want to take? But I think it
it's
is.
It's kind of funny as a family
trip. I think it is. I think we're going to Miami as a family and I think it's going to be cool.
That's all I got for you. My last question.
Well, this is really fun, Johanna. I had such a good time and I'm like, I'm really excited to do this again. And obviously these were a lot of questions from like friends of the show and producers, but I can't wait to hear from the audience. Like I want every kind of question.
Yes. So if you have a question for Dylan, we want to hear from you. It can be about travel advice or it could be life advice. Maybe you're just kind of curious about something to do with Dylan or his life. Email us your question, or better yet, record a voice memo and send it to us at hello@atlasobscura.com. Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks, Johanna. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The people who make our show include Doug Baldinger, Chris Naka, Camille Stanley, Johanna Mayer, Manola Morales, Baudelaire, Gabby Gladney, Amanda McGowan, Alexa Lim, Casey Holford, and Luce Fleming. Our theme music is by Sam Tyndall. And if you like the show, please, please give us a review and rating wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.
Skipping breakfast. I know I don't, but I like to keep money in my pocket. Thanks to McDonald's, breakfast on a budget has never hit this good. I can grab two McD faves, like a sausage McGriddles, sausage burrito, hash browns, or the savory sausage McMuffin. I can even add a premium roast coffee for $1.69. Any size, any time of day. And order ahead in the app so it's ready when I get there. Bite into breakfast without breaking your bank at Mickey D's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
'Twas the nights before Christmas. Despite last-minute stress, few were delivering except Walmart Express.
Stockings were hung by the fireplace with care, knowing in about an hour, stuffers would soon be there.
On to the road, Walmart Express delivery went. Chock full of wondrous things in the St. Nick of time sent. Let's go!
Get express delivery in as fast as an hour, even on Christmas Eve. Orders must be placed by 4 p.m. local time on 12/24. Subject to availability. Fees and restrictions apply.
Express delivery to y'all and to all a good night. Welcome to your Walmart.